your presence in our midst. Thank you for the Word made flesh, who dwelt among us full of grace and truth, and revealed your way and will. We thank you, too, for the Word of God written, this gift which you have entrusted to the church for all the ages, whereby we can understand who you are and your way with us and with the world. Oh Lord, please pour out your Holy Spirit upon us in this hour of worship, so that we may have the grace to hear you speaking a word of life into our lives. For apart from you, we can do nothing, but with you all things are possible. So strengthen us in our inner beings with love and faith and hope, that we may serve you faithfully all the days of our lives. And help me, Lord, help me to preach your word with energy and intelligence, imagination and love, so that you may get glory and your people may be encouraged. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. We are continuing in Luke's gospel, and Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 41 and reading through to the end of the chapter. Listen to God's word now. Now, every year, his parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up as usual for the festival. When the festival was ended and they started to return, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Assuming that he was in the group of travelers, they went a day's journey. Then they started to look for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them, and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." He said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine favor and human favor. The word of the Lord. Thanks be unto God. Have you ever misplaced your child? It happens more frequently than you might think. I've heard a number of stories over the years of families, especially large families, traveling together. They make a stop maybe for food or gas and get out of the car to stretch their legs. Everybody piles back in and they set off, and then a few miles down the road they realize that one of the children is missing. And so they make a U-turn to retrieve the child, drive at breakneck speed back to where they were before, and begin searching anxiously for the child until they find him. I suppose a less traumatic and dramatic example might be that of a parent who takes their children to the playground. They're having a nice time, the children are playing, they're visiting with their neighbors, and then all of a sudden they realize that one of them is missing, and they begin to scan the horizon of the playground trying to find them. They become more and more anxious with the passing minutes. They begin to call the child's name out and go searching for the child, only to find them perhaps hiding among the playground equipment. This is something akin to what Mary and Joseph experienced in this morning's reading from Luke's gospel. They were devout followers of the Lord, of Yahweh. The home, the synagogue, and the temple were really the center of their moral, religious, and spiritual lives. And so, in obedience to the command of Moses, they made an annual pilgrimage to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. Luke tells us that this was their usual custom, so they did it each and every year. And they weren't alone either. They traveled usually with friends and relatives. Part of that was for protection against people who might want to hold them up on the highways, for they were thronged with pilgrims, the highways and the byways, everyone journeying to Jerusalem to celebrate the great deliverance of Israel from Egyptian bondage. Now, the festival lasted for 7 days. We're not used to feasts in the church lasting that long, but it lasted for 7 days. And the text tells us that Jesus was 12 years old. That was a significant age in Judaism. It was normally about that time when a boy would have his bar mitzvah, or a girl now would have their bat mitzvah. And that phrase simply means to be a son or a daughter of the law or of the covenant. At age 13, then children were obliged to keep the law in its entirety. And I think all of that is to say that Jesus was old enough to enjoy some independence as a result. Now, after the Passover was over, they set out to return home to Nazareth. But of course, unbeknownst to them, Jesus lingered in Jerusalem. And they didn't realize it until they traveled a full day. That was probably somewhere between 10 and maybe even as much as 20 miles or more. And so they too made a U-turn for Jerusalem and began searching for him. First, of course, they checked with their fellow travelers, with relatives and friends, but he wasn't anywhere to be found. So they had no recourse but to return to Jerusalem. And once they got there, it took them another day before they were able to locate him. So after 3 days, they found him in the temple. And Mary, like any mother, chided him, didn't she? She said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you with great anxiety." Can only imagine how anxious they must have been trying to find him. But with their son safely under their wing, they set out for home again. And the text tells us that Jesus honored his father and mother. He went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. The story of Jesus as a 12-year-old boy is the only biblical account that we have of his childhood. There's some apocryphal accounts in some of the other gospels that were not canonical, but this is the only biblical account that we have of his childhood. And it's a very human story, isn't it? He was developing normally. He was becoming more independent as a result of it. As Luke says, he was increasing in wisdom and stature and in divine and human favor. That is, he was developing as any child would. And Mary and Joseph were good parents. They were raising their child the right way. They were seeking to instill in him a deep love for God and for the family. They were training him in the tenets and customs and rituals of Judaism. But hidden in this very human story is the unfolding of God's great story, the great story of redemption. God's hand is evident in the text by what transpired. It's remarkable, really, that the leading teachers of Judaism in the temple would allow this boy to come and sit with them as they mused about the law together. And not only that, they allowed him to ask questions and even to give answers. John Calvin picked up on this in his commentary, and this is what he wrote. "There must have been beams of divine radiance openly shining on the boy for him to have been allowed to sit by these proud men. Though it is likely he sat on a bench and not on the doctor's level, these haughty men would never have granted him an audience in public assembly if some divine force had not driven them to it." Calvin may be a little harsh on the teachers in his commentary, but I think he's on to something too. The text also tells us that everyone who heard Jesus in the temple that day were amazed by his understanding and by the answers that he gave. So God was at work in this family mishap. Jesus, it turned out, was right where he was supposed to be. Jesus' answer to Mary and Joseph, I think, reveals the hand of God too. Jesus was genuinely surprised by their great anxiety. I think that comes through pretty clearly in the text. "Why were you searching for me?" he asked them. He was fully absorbed in that moment. He was at home. He was where God wanted him to be. I mean, if you stop to think about it, most 12-year-old boys would be feeling great anxiety themselves if they had been accidentally abandoned by their family in a big city with huge throngs there for worship. But not Jesus. The remainder of his response reveals that he had a clear sense of his identity and his unique relationship to God. He asked them another question: "Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" Or the Greek can be rendered alternately, "Did you not know that I must be about my Father's interests or my Father's business?" I liked what one commentator wrote about Jesus in this passage. He wrote, "Luke revealed that Jesus was aware of his unique relationship to God. Already at age 12, he knew that he was God's son and that he possessed a unique calling. He demonstrated a higher allegiance to his divine sonship than to Mary and Joseph, and hence why he stayed behind." Jesus was fully human. He gradually developed as any other human child. He became more independent in the process. He was obedient to his parents according to the law. He had been so normal, in fact, for the last 12 years that Mary and Joseph had pretty much forgotten maybe about what the angel Gabriel had said to them before he was born. Maybe the words of Elizabeth and Zechariah or the words of Simeon and Anna that we looked at last week seemed just a distant memory to them. Jesus was just a normal child to them, and hence their great anxiety. But Jesus was also fully God. This, of course, is a deep mystery. God was his Father. God's house was his true home, and he had business to attend to. His Father's interests, which were the redemption of the world, ultimately. His calling was to obey God's law completely, perfectly, to be sinless, and then to offer that sinless life back to God on the cross to pay for the sins of the whole world. His calling was to die for us, but also to rise for us from the dead, so that we might be free from sin and death. That was his Father's business that he was about. It's a very human story then, but it also conceals a divine story of the unfolding of God's plan of redemption in human history. And I think the story is also instructive for us as we live out our faith day to day. The Son of God, Jesus Christ, is in our midst this morning, for we gather in his name. But he's in our midst just as he was with all the caravans of pilgrims who were traveling to Jerusalem to celebrate Passover. We may not notice him as we go about our daily affairs, as we live out our faith through good works and worship as we're doing this morning. But Jesus is right in the middle of our daily living. And if we discover that we have completely lost track of him, which sometimes happens, if we've lost track of his presence in our lives, all we have to do is make a U-turn as well and start seeking him, and we're sure to find him, just as Mary and Joseph found him when they returned to Jerusalem. As Jesus will say in the Sermon on the Mount, if we ask for God's help, it will be given. If we search, we will find. We will find him. If we knock, the door of God's mercy will be opened to us, for God is our Father too, just as he was Jesus' Father. And our Heavenly Father knows how to give good gifts to those who ask for them. And so we too, like Jesus, can increase in wisdom and stature, in divine and human favor too. And like Jesus, we also should be about our Father's business. The story of redemption is complete. There's nothing that we can add to that. But we can tell the story to anyone who will listen to us about all that God has done for us in Jesus Christ. The story of the boy Jesus in the temple is a very human story. I think we can all relate to it. It is the story of God-fearing people like Mary and Joseph and their relatives and friends who are seeking to live out their faith and worship through good works and worship to God. It's a story of parents misplacing their child, terrible thing, searching with great anxiety, but thankfully finding him safe and sound. It's the story of the boy Jesus developing normally and honoring his father and mother, according to the law of God, of being an obedient son. But it's much more than that. It's also the story of the unfolding of God's plan of redemption for the whole world. It is the story of Jesus, a son of Adam, fully human, but who was also the Son of God, fully divine. He had a unique relationship with God, and he had a unique calling too. He had to be about his Father's business. And he did. He lived a perfect life. He offered it on the cross. He died. He rose again. And he is the true Passover of God that sets us free from slavery to sin and death, and who will eventually bring us to the new Jerusalem that is promised. Brothers and sisters, this Jesus is still in our midst, in our daily lives, in our worship, in our sacraments that we'll be celebrating in just a moment. So let us search diligently for him, for we will certainly find him. And let us emulate his pure heart that was singularly focused on his Heavenly Father and his Heavenly Father's business. And by the grace and mercy of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, may we too increase in wisdom, in stature, in divine and human favor, all through Jesus Christ our Lord. All glory be to God. Hallelujah. Amen. In response to the reading and proclamation of God's word, I invite you to stand as you are able and to join in affirming our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed.